Today on the Music City Audible, winners and losers from the first five Tennessee Titans training camp practices. Titans are off on Wednesday, so we're going to look back on those first five practices and figure out who's rising, who's falling, and who are our honorable mentions in between. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com and publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, Titans are off today, so we're going to do something that we're calling Winners and Losers. It's a totally novel concept. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do a Winners and Losers piece, so I feel really proud of us for coming up with this topic idea.
I love it. I published one this morning on Titan Size. I guess we missed the boat on it, but not that you asked, but I'm doing well. Wednesday, I said yesterday on the live stream, I think the Titans are off tomorrow. We weren't sure. I'm not surprised they're off today. You know, two straight practices in pads. Third day, you start to get tired, sore, intense. So good time to take a day off. They'll return tomorrow, Thursday. Then they have the scrimmage on Friday at Nissan Stadium, the blue and white scrimmage. But we're five practices in the books, two of them in pads. A lot of takeaways from the first. I'm calling it the first week. It's actually The first practice was last Wednesday, so we're exactly 1 week at the Titans training camp. They're off today. Good time for us to kind of take a step back, analyze what we've seen so far, and identify some winners and losers.
Which is kind of funny because on Friday's show last week, we called it looking at the first week of Titans training camp. And now today, it's actually been one full week of Titans training camp. And I kind of like the schedule, by the way, two padded practices. They're still ramping up. This is the first time they put on pads since they got their asses kicked in week 18 against Jacksonville. So it's a good, like, you want to ramp it up slowly. You don't want to go three or four or five straight days in pads. I think there is actually an NFL rule that requires them to go no more than three straight days in pads, but I'm not 100% sure if that's true. Check me in the comments on that one. And then they are back in pads, as you said, on Thursday. And then they have like sort of an extra half day because the Friday practice at Nissan Stadium is a scrimmage in the evening. So they're not getting back out there right away Friday morning. So anyway, I like the schedule. I think it's good. We'll be back Thursday tomorrow to recap tomorrow's practice with a live show. Obviously, today's show not live. Friday, we're going to stick to our standard 10:30 a.m. Central live stream time, although I'll be doing that without you, Justin, because you'll be on your little vacation. Nissan practice takes place Friday night. We'll get to that on Monday, just to be clear with everyone. We're not going to have an extra Friday night show, but wish we could, but scheduling is not good for either of us this weekend. So it is what it is. All right, Justin, let's get to it.
We're going to bring on a guest Monday who will actually be in attendance at the scrimmage. So it'll be a good show on Monday talking about what happened at that practice. Let's dive right into it.
So here's the thing about this topic. Is it winners and losers, or is it stock up, stock down? Or is it risers and fallers? I mean, is it buying and selling? It's like, it's all of them, right?
I think all the terms are interchangeable. The first winner who's a stock up, who I'm buying stock in, is quarterback Cam Ward. And the reason we decided to include him here, not trying to be dishonest, I don't think Cam has been lighting it up every practice. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been unbelievable, right? The truth lies somewhere in the middle. The reason I think he still qualifies for this list is that, you know, first year in Brian Daboll's system, there's a lot being put on his plate, a lot of responsibility. And by all indications, he's responded really well. He's picked up the system incredibly quickly. He's executing. Robert Saleh talked the other day about him checking out of a play at practice that got him into a one-on-one that went for a positive gain. He's thrown multiple touchdowns. He had that 65-yard bomb that lit up, you know, social media on Tuesday to Carnell Tate. I've been very encouraged by what's coming out of Cam Ward from training camp. You hear Brian Daboll speak at the podium on Tuesday. Yes, you know, he's made the interceptions on Monday, but like neither here nor there, in my opinion. If you kind of take all the intricacies, what's really important for a second year quarterback at training camp in the first year of a new system, we had Zach Lyons, who wrote a great article for his Substack talking about, he's making quicker decisions. It feels like he's seeing it, letting it rip. Like by all accounts, he's really taken to this new system. And to me, that didn't have to be the case. He could really be struggling out there. A lot of quarterbacks do, you know, when they're learning a new system. That's not happening for Cam Ward at camp right now. And I think that definitely makes him a winner.
Yeah, I'm fully with you. I think that maybe expectations can... expectations always create more disappointment than excitement. So it's important to keep those expectations in check and to a stable reality and not get into fantasy land here. Because we had a comment from a very loyal MCA Army member. I think David Jenkins is the one who commented on our Tuesday show that he hasn't necessarily seen what he thinks he wanted to see or needed to see from Cam so far. Like, he's not been that encouraged because he hasn't been like having five touchdown. This is, I'm putting words in David's mouth now. Apologies. Like, but he hasn't had one of those like five touchdown days where the offense is just dominating the whole practice. Now the offense has won some days, you know, they won the first practice of training camp. Defense came back on day two and took that day. Cam Ward had the two interception day. But other than that, the offense was reportedly on fire. But look, what are we really expecting to see from training camp reports that are literally written reports from beat writers who are out there every day? We don't have like a full video of practice. Like, yeah, the Titans social media team might give us one or two highlights per day. Like, it's hard to judge whether or not he's been truly lighting it up. There are little things that we're looking for right now. And when we get to preseason, which still doesn't matter that much, but when we get to preseason, we'll actually get a chance to see with our own eyes what this progress looks like versus just reading about it and listening to other people talk about it. But those encouraging things are, as you said, picking up the offense, that's huge because it is a brand new scheme. Being able to check to plays is a huge encouraging sign. Processing things faster. That's one of the things that he needed to work on coming into this year. Hitting the deep ball more accurately. We've been seeing that happen in clips and in write-ups. That's something that needed to happen coming into this year. So he's on track right now, showing the progress that he needs to show. And the biggest thing for me, Justin, is the emphasis on situational football. Because situational football is how you win and lose games at the NFL. And being the quarterback and understanding when you need to put the team on your back and go make a play versus just being a cog in the system when you hope that your defense is going to be much better this year and you're not going to need to take risky chances. You're hopefully not going to put yourself in as many third and long situations. You just need to like maintain ball control and get points on the board. And that will be a successful year for the Titans offense if they can do those things. And so far, he is trending in the right direction, which makes him a stock up riser winner buyer of training camp so far.
I'm with you 100%. And every time Brian Daboll gets up there, he talks situational ball, third down, red zone. So sometimes we don't even, like, when you talk about getting the reports, we don't always know what the script is for that day, what they're working. Sometimes, you know, third and long days, usually not good days for completion percentage, right? Because it's like your back's up against the wall. Next winner, and I might group the next two if you don't mind. I'm going to go rapid fire on the next two. Wide receiver Elik Iomanner and linebacker James Williams, two guys we've talked about quite a bit lately. Honestly, and I think I wrote this in the Titan-sized article, if I had to pick one winner of training camp, probably Elik Iomanner. And I think everyone would agree with that, right? Like, just the transformation he's undergone, the way he showed up, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster, he's practicing with more confidence, he's attacking the ball, he's been one of Cam Ward's consistent, you know, go-to targets. When he's with the twos and it's Trubisky, you know, Trubisky's hit him a couple times as well. Like, yeah, Iomanner's probably been the biggest surprising standout of camp. No-brainer, surefire inclusion in this conversation.
Yeah, and I think we don't need to spend as much time on him here today because if you've missed any of our previous, five podcasts, we've talked about him at length on almost every single one. On Friday, we talked about him for like 20 minutes. We've talked about him all week. So yeah, he's doing the things that you need him to do as a second-year guy to hopefully fill this position for the Titans for the foreseeable future. If he can truly be like a wide receiver 2-3 borderline level player, and you have Wandale, and you have Tate, and Ridley obviously is coming back, is still here this year, and he made plays this week at training camp, back out on the field. Like, you actually have a stockpile of receiver weapons where if somebody gets injured, God forbid, which happens to this team every single year, now you're not relying on absolute bottom depth chart guys or day three rookies or whatever. Like
they did last year.
They did last year. Like, they've done, feels like every year that the Titans have existed since they traded A.J. Brown away. But they, and every year before A.J. Brown, because the Titans have never had a great receiver. But the idea of Elik Iomanner emerging as a true contributor on offense really papers over, like, it bolsters the depth and it raises the ceiling. It's just like, it's great for this team. Mike Borgonzi looks to be a genius getting Elikai Mahner in the fourth round when, you know, a lot of draft Knicks that year had him second or third round as a prospect, and him continuing to get better where he needs to get better, like the strength, the play, not just actual strength, but play strength, play through contact, all those things. Easton Freeze has been out there. He's been, you know, touting the Elikai Mahner train for since before the draft last year. He was a big fan pre-draft, and he's been out there talking about how Elik, once the pads came on, is looking even better, which that was the big area of concern for me, was Elikai Mahner last year, a little weak through contact, didn't have the highest level of play strength. When the pads come on this year, is that going to look different? And it does look different, and I couldn't be more excited for what Mahner can do in his sophomore year.
Making it a real battle between him and Calvin Ridley for the perceived wide receiver three spot. Final winner we got for this block is linebacker James Williams, who's had turnovers multiple days in a row, for interceptions on Monday and Tuesday. You look at this linebacker battle, initially easy to forget about him, right? Cedric Gray, Cody Barton, second-round pick Anthony Hill, who had, you know, a couple picks himself. But you look at what Williams is doing, forcing his way onto the field. Gus Bradley gushed about him at the podium yesterday. Made him look smart 2 days in a row, really, Monday and Tuesday. Talk about his transition, for college transition from safety to linebacker, how that makes him such a good fit in this defense. He can play in coverage. For my money, he's the best linebacker in coverage on this Titans roster. He's been one of the early winners and might force the Titans into finding a sub-package role for him, despite him being, you know, perceived as the number four linebacker on the depth chart. Well, he's, you know, kind of changing the conversation around.
Yeah, he's not the only linebacker who's been making plays either, and we'll get to another one later when we get to honorable mentions, but it is interesting. You know, it went from a position where it was like, okay, you feel great about Cedric Gray. You know who Cody Barton is. He has his limitations. You're excited about the rookie Anthony Hill Jr., but who's the depth behind that? Is it this free agent journeyman, special teamer guy, one of the guys that they signed? There's multiple guys like that they signed this offseason. But here comes James Williams saying, don't forget about me. You know, a lot of people are forgetting about Femi, but don't forget about James Williams too. And I think that
his... Drop, don't you? You got it. When you say you got to...
I think a lot of people are forgetting about Femi.
That long delay in hitting the drop is why I didn't just hit the drop, because I wasn't like necessarily ready to hit the drop. But James Williams, another guy emerging that helps cover up some depth issues and raise the floor for this team. And maybe he turns into a valuable player under Saleh, who has a history of developing secondary players, a linebacker players, defensive lineman. He actually just has a history of developing defensive players across the board. So we love to see what James Williams is doing.
After the break, we're going to get into some losers from the first week of Titans training camp.
You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak. All delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha Steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak, because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF. BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back. All right, let's continue here, Justin. Winners discussed. Honorable mentions, there are more guys that you could argue are winners, and we're going to hit those in our third segment as honorable mentions. So let's get into some losers, but I also want to hear from the Audible Army, or if you don't consider yourself part of the Audible Army, but you're watching this on YouTube, I want to hear from you too. Let us know in the comments who are your winners so far from Titans Training Camp. Who are your losers? Don't forget to like the video and subscribe to the Music City Audible. All right, Justin, losers. I got to be honest with you. When we were talking about today's show, and I'll be honest with the audience, because you already know my feelings here. Kind of hard to come up with a loser so far through Titans training camp. I mean, it's not like anybody's been totally displaced out of a starting job that we really know of yet, because they haven't really solidified any of that stuff. It's not like anybody's gone out there and gotten beat horribly or played terribly or even suffered a major injury. We're still waiting, as of this recording, on an update on Dan Moore's status. Doesn't necessarily feel serious. I feel like if it was serious, we would have gotten word already that it was serious. You know, they've been tweeting out, like, Falcons defensive end Jalen Walker tore his ACL, right? We had that yesterday, and then confirmation of it again today. Like, there hasn't been any national reports touching that, so I'm feeling okay about Dan Moore right now. I don't think it's going to be a big issue. But anyway, the point is, hard to pick out a loser. That said, we were able to pick out some losers anyway, so why don't you start us off?
And we're going to take some bailouts on this segment, if you will, to be honest with you.
Yes.
You're right. Like, the outside of, like, a, you know, fifth string lineman who maybe looks really bad, that doesn't matter. There hasn't been, like, clear-cut losers. But over these last 2 days, I decided that we could probably include Mitch Trubisky in here. I mean, Monday and Tuesday, what, like 4 or 5 interceptions combined? I mean, he had a hat trick of interceptions yesterday. Not great, right? Like, especially for a backup quarterback who we've said, like, and I still feel this way. I'm not going to change my opinion based on 2 practices. But, you know, if Cam Ward gets hurt, we still want to win games. You know, Mitch Trubisky can come in, win football games for this team. It's not Brandon Allen. You're not tanking for a high pick. Like, you want to win a game if Cam Ward misses one. Well, Mitch Trubisky has to be that guy. And I still think he can be that guy. I still think he's going to win the backup job, be the number two. Maybe that stuff avoids him from being a clear-cut loser. I don't think he's losing his job to Will Levis. But these four or five picks in 2 days, not what you want, you know, to see from a veteran guy who knows this system, who played for Brian Daboll in Buffalo. He came into OTAs after the birth of his daughter. He was holding her in one arm, and he threw five touchdowns at OTAs. Like, you know, that's the kind of performance you want out of Mitch Trubisky at camp. But it's been a bit more up and down than I think we expected.
Yeah, I think that it's still tough for me to call him a loser because, as you said, like, I really don't think he's at risk of losing his job, barring a total, barring a total meltdown combined with a Will Levis explosion, which hasn't happened yet. I mean, Will Levis has made a couple good plays, but also a few boneheaded plays, more boneheaded than the Mitch Trubisky turnovers that have, you know, plagued him the last couple practices. But even so, like, I'm okay with Mitch Trubisky having a high completion percentage and making all the right plays in OTAs and then coming into camp and, you know, missed a day with whatever back tightness or whatever he was dealing with. And then getting out there and it's like, okay, now it's time to take some more chances and see what I can get away with. Because, like, it's not just Cam Ward we want out there taking chances in training camp. We want all the quarterbacks to be doing that. So if Mitch Trubisky is going to throw three interceptions in a practice, as long as it doesn't become a long sustained pattern where it's like practice after practice after practice, he's just terrible, then I'm okay with him throwing a few interceptions in practice. Like, it is what it is. And it's also nice to see the defense making plays. Guys like Anthony Hill Jr. and James Williams making plays is also a good thing. And so, you know, he's a loser because he didn't have his best practices the last 2 days, but he's not a long-term, there's no impact on the fact that we're calling him a loser today. It's not going to lead to a demotion, or obviously it's not going to lead to him getting cut at the end of training camp or anything like that. So it's kind of a whatever to me.
I agree with you. Now I'll move us along. And I said we're going to take a cop out, but, you know, I think this is important. The next loser, swing tackle depth. Something we knew, something we've always been worried about, right? Like, when Dan Moore, you know, he's, you know, I think Mike Herndon had a tweet, that great tweet, like, two things can be true. Dan Moore is like an average NFL tackle, and they're also absolutely screwed if they don't have him. Like, that's how bad the depth is behind him. I mean, I have no faith in Austin Deculus as a swing tackle. I've got no faith, really, almost no faith in Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. Like, they've been rotating at right tackle before J.C. Latham got back. And then they rotated at left tackle when Dan Moore left. There's no reason to think these guys can really protect the quarterback in the regular season. Deculus was a disaster for the Chargers last year. I don't know that Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon is any better than a Dennis Daly or Andre Dillard or Deculus last season. This is a rough spot. They got worse there this offseason, no doubt about it. Ali Udo was very passable last season, and I continue to be very concerned about it. And if Dan Moore has to miss any time, God forbid, like, any of those tackles get hurt in the regular season, for a series, for a game, you're going to see that spot be an instant weakness unless they go out and get someone and improve that spot.
Yeah, the reports out of camp yesterday, there were some out there that Jacob Martin was feasting after Dan Moore left practice against those backup tackles.
What do you think Will Anderson's going to do, Danielle Hunter?
Exactly, or any, you know, top 20 edge rusher in the NFL. You picked like two of the top 10. Any good edge rusher in the NFL is going
to... Martin's not a top 25, most likely.
Exactly my point. You went from Jacob Martin to Will Anderson. There's a huge range of guys in between that are going to feast against the Titans' backup tackles if they have to play. And it's not an... like, this is a massive blind spot on Mike Borgonzi's, like, the whole offensive line, to be frank. I mean, if we're talking about areas the Titans potentially failed this offseason that we're going to be talking about in week 5, in week 9, in week 15, when the team is failing to meet some of our very low expectations for them, like, it's because the offensive line was largely ignored. Obviously, they drafted two guys on day 3. Let's not get it twisted. They didn't really sign anybody of note. Austin Deculus doesn't count as of note. Cordell Volson, Austin Schlotman, like, bargain bin shopping.
Those are
there.
Two
maybe
starters, and you said no one of note, right?
Like, exactly. Well, that's my point. Like, those guys are potentially passable starters. Potentially is doing a lot of work there. That was bargain bin shopping at the offensive line. And we know they wanted to go after some higher name guys, but we didn't hear reports of them wanting to go after even like a mid-level tackle, like a backup replacement level swing tackle. Austin Deculus is the guy that they chose for that role. That's kind of crazy to me right there on itself. So I still, it hasn't happened yet, but I've been saying it for literally months now. I still expect this team to sign another tackle. And until they do so, I think there's nothing the swing tackles can do in camp from this point unless they show up as different people to like move them out of this losers category, because like Brendan Crenshaw Dixon's not just going to wake up one morning and be Rashawn Slater, you know, and Austin Deculus, same thing. Like these guys aren't just going to suddenly become great tackles. So, I mean, I don't know how much development you're expecting throughout the course of training camp. Maybe they get marginally better, but they're not going to get better enough to the point where you feel good if they have to play snaps. So go sign somebody, anybody, really, anybody.
Final losers, and we'll make this one quicker, but teams tell you how they feel about position groups based on their activity. And Mike Borgonzi has told you, Robert Saleh has told you, they do not like their cornerback depth whatsoever. In the last 7 days, give or take, they've signed 3 cornerbacks, all of which are two of them are like legitimate veterans in Mario Goodrich and Nazi Johnson. Johnson was with Borgonzi back in Kansas City. Like, he's been around a while. Goodrich has been around a couple years. They also went out and signed Derek Canteen, which I did not think was a real name, but he was on the 49ers practice squad last year with Robert Saleh. They've signed 3 cornerbacks. Who did they cut for those guys? Jaden Lucas and Latrell McCutcheon, 2 UDFA corners. And I don't think we acknowledge this enough on this show, the third cut was Hudson Clark, who you called a stock create-a-player Madden name. And I think the Titans noticed the same. He lasted 1 practice. That's almost impossible. Yeah. But they kind of, like, we hardly knew him. Where are the Hudson Clark jerseys? Maybe Preston Penn will have one day. they're not happy with their corner depth. They bring in 3 guys. So I think guy like Nazi Johnson's legit bet to make the team potentially as that 5th or 6th corner if they keep 6. They don't like the corner depth. It's a loser.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you said it. Teams tell us how they feel. They've been churning this spot. I feel okay about the general corner depth. Like, I mean, when you talk about...
Well, when I think depth, I think, like, you got 3 starters.
Yeah.
You're like your 4th, I guess, than Joshua Williams.
I feel fine about 4 and 5, but it seems like they're looking for a much better 6, to be honest with you. Because, like, I don't think they're going to sign a street free agent is going to come in and replace or, you know, supplant Micah Robinson, even if Micah Robinson's not anything to, like, write home about.
I'm also holding out belief that maybe Kedrain Callaghan beats Micah Robinson for spot number 5. I think those are the 2 guys who are battling for 5, but they're not locked in, right? Like, if Nazi Johnson comes in and he's a great special teamer and Mike Borgonzi loves him, like, I think there's a chance he ends up the number 5.
Yeah, that's totally a fair possibility as well. But I guess my point is, like, clearly they don't like the back end of the corner room. And that could be for many reasons. It could be because they want to keep a 6th corner that they feel better about. It could be because they want to challenge the 5th cornerback spot, as you just said. It could be because they want to give – they have a deep and talented wide receiver room for the first time.
Let's bring in some guys who are not getting the 8th corner, right? Like, it could just be that, too.
And not even about not getting cooked, but, like, let's challenge these guys. Yep. Our wide receiver 5 needs a challenge. Our wide receiver 6 needs a challenge. Who is that, Shim Dike? He needs a challenge when he's going up.
AJ Osborne was probably routing Jaden Lucas, right?
Yeah, like, Bryce Oliver, too. Like, this is potentially the deepest, most talented Titans receiving room that has ever been in Nashville. So the corners are not matching that standard at all. And I think that's why we see this churn. So it is a loser because right now, if you're the 6th cornerback on the Tennessee Titans, you are the most likely person on the roster to get cut for somebody else based on the pattern that has emerged. And maybe it's not number 6, but like 6 through 10. I don't know how many corners they have at the moment, but something like that. So yeah, that position group, I would call it, I'm with you, definitely a loser. That will cover winners and losers. You have one more thing to add?
No, I was going to say, after the break, honorable mentions.
That covers winners and losers. So after the break, we will hit a few more winners, actually, but they're not quite full winners. They're just honorable mentions. We'll be right back. Welcome back. All right, Justin, final segment here. Just a chance for us to talk about a few players that we didn't get to talk about yet that we think have been standing out in their own ways at camp, but maybe not quite as much as the 3 guys that we already covered. So some honorable mentions here. I'll get us going with Carnell Tate.
Carnell Tate.
That time I was ready. See?
You were ready for the drop that time, I was going to say. Well, I was honestly, we could probably have a quicker conversation and group in all the receivers on, like, we just talked before the break about how this is the deepest receiver room. Well, we only had 1 winner in Alec Iomanner, but right. Carnell Tate, Wandale Robinson, who am I missing? Calvin Ridley, like, those 3 guys,
Even after yesterday's practice, throw Shimmer Adike in there too. Why not?
I don't think quite to the level of the other three, probably, but all those guys have been good. Like, Carnell Tate had the 65-yard touchdown yesterday. I want to say, we're five practices in. He had a touchdown the 65-yard bomb yesterday, and at the first practice, he had a red zone touchdown that went viral. Right. Those in-between practices, some of them were won by the defense, so him and the whole offense were a little quieter. Maybe that's why he's not a full-blown winner. But I think Carnell Tate's been good. I mean, he's been good. He's been as advertised. He's been what you want a rookie receiver to be, so he belongs there. Wandale Robinson has been his reliable self. He's catching third downs. He's moving the chains. He's being, that security blanket across the middle. So he just belongs in this conversation too. And then Calvin Ridley, who started camp with like a stomach bug, took some time to get going. He's had a couple of big chain movers, right? Like 30 yards, explosive down the field, yard after catch opportunities, like all three of the, like, Alec Iomanner's been the best of the receivers in camp, and or he's been the most surprising. That's probably why we kind of separated him. But those other three starters have been very good.
Yeah, you forgot Ridley, 3rd-and-15 conversion after a false start to get them down right near the goal line, and then that followed up with a near touchdown where Robinson was tackled right at the goal line. I think Alec Iomanner has ascended the most of all the players. Like, he is exceeded the expectations we had for him, which is why he's such a big story. I also think there's an argument that he has been the best receiver at Titans training camp, at least the most consistent day-to-day performer. Like, he's every day he's had a good day, pretty much. And but all these other guys deserve mention as well, because I'm starting to wonder, you know, we've been talking all offseason about how Brian Daboll likes to funnel targets to his number one receiver. Look at Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Look at Malik Nabers in New York. But also, before Stephon Diggs arrived in Buffalo, Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator for 2 years, I think, and that was a very spread-the-ball-around passing attack. And I wonder if maybe Brian Daboll looks at his wide receiver room and says, man, this is an embarrassment of riches I've got here, because not only do I have like my potential Malik Nabers equivalent in Carnell Tate, my literal Wandale Robinson equivalent in Wandale Robinson, also got Calvin Ridley, who, you know, as a wide receiver three-level player, That's the right place for him at this stage in his career to really make an impact on games. Maybe it's only one or two plays, but those one or two plays are going to be impactful. And then you throw in the ascension of Alec Iomanner and the package looks and specific usage you can get out of Shimmer Adike. Like, Brian Daboll may not want to funnel targets to one player because he's going to want all these guys to get their opportunities to touch the ball.
And he coached Ridley at Alabama, right? So he knows him from going way back. So I'm with you. And like, what a time to be alive. Did we just call the Tennessee Titans wide receiver room an embarrassment of riches? What?
It really is.
Where's the 37-year-old Tyler Lockett and the 34-year-old Tyler Boyd relying on those guys? And
yeah,
they've turned over a new leaf this offseason for sure. The other honorable mention I wanted to include here, and I might go rapid fire on some others I didn't text you, but Anthony Hill Jr., got to include him in this, the rookie backer, after Gus Bradley spoke highly of him at the podium yesterday, talked about him learning the mic spot. Then he goes to the practice field. He's lost 7 pounds of fat by cutting out Mike and Ike candies, he said at the podium, okay? And he had 2 interceptions on Tuesday's practice. Like, you want to see a rookie getting better? We said, oh, beginning of camp, he's been quiet. Linebacker's a tough spot to learn in the NFL. They've got some good players there. 2 interceptions on his 5th ever training camp practice. He had an interception in OTAs that I remember they cut a highlight of. He's forced turnovers all offseason. He's been instinctive. He's been explosive. Like the way Anthony Hill is trending.
Yeah, I think that's the only place for him here. Like, he's not quite a winner because he had really one standout day in camp so far, but he's an honorable mention winner because he had a great day on Tuesday, and he's a rookie who appears to now be kind of ascending. Now, he's got to stack some days, and we'll see how this all shakes out, but 2 interceptions in one day. Has any Titans player done that in training camp yet? Did any Titans player do that in OTAs? Like, I'm not sure that they – I don't think that
no
happened.
No active member. I think Sanusi Kane got Will Levis 7 times in one practice. They cut him the next day.
Yeah, totally. So Anthony Hill definitely belongs here. I think that –
can I run rapid fire if you don't mind?
Go for it.
I think Alante Taylor's been good. I think he's been competitive. He's been scrappy. He's been exactly as they envisioned. I think Cordell Flott has been good as well. I think both of those guys You know, I've been starting caliber corners, and they're challenging and testing the wide receivers. If I had to go honorable mention loser, and this is two very random names no one cares about, but two, you know, veterans they signed in free agency who I think came here to compete for roster spots, and I'm no longer convinced that they, I mean, I don't know that I was ever convinced, but if I did a 53-man roster projection today, I don't think I'd have either of them, and that's the way I should position this, is Mo Diabate and Kyle Granson. I think that's where I'm at with
that. Kyle?
Kylan, sorry, Kylan Granson and Mo Diabate. If I was looking at, like, we talked about James Williams and Anthony Hill being stock up, well, one linebacker's got to suffer if others are kind of climbing, and I don't know that Mo Diabate's on that level of a James Williams and Anthony Hill practice performer. Even a Dorian Mossy, who's, I think, you know, fighting for a roster spot as well. So I haven't heard enough about him. And I go same with Granson, where they've got some back-end depth at tight end. You know, Jaron Kanick is practicing well. David Martin Robinson made a big play the other day, caught from Will Levis, a run and catch. And he's also a good special teamer. So those two, for me, are like honorable mention losers, because I don't know that I'd have them on a projection right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I think that covers it. You know, Titans took the day off of training camp today to get those bodies right, probably doing a lot of meetings and stuff. But we don't take any days off here except for weekends in the off season on the Music City Audible. But in season, Justin, we'll have our Sunday recap live streams. Another year, two in a row, where we get to do all of our Titans recaps on Sundays because they don't play a single Monday night or Thursday night game. Maybe week 18, they'll get flexed into a Saturday spot, but I don't think so. I hope they get flexed into a Sunday night football spot week 18 if that happens. But yeah, we get to do those, so we'll be back for all that. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow live after training camp. I'm thinking sometime between like 12 and 12:30 we'll probably try to go live. So if you're looking out for that, if you subscribe to the channel and turn on channel notifications, you should get an alert when we go live, so you don't have to worry about it.
I think we were live by 12:15 because we can be transparent. I know you got to heed the call around 1 central. So hopefully the notes, practice, everything's on time. We're aiming to be live for about 12:15 central. So if you miss it, you have no excuse.
Yeah, there you go. All right, like this video, comment below your winners and losers, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.